Good Tuesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests, as you know, they join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you as we're still dealing with a fallout of the spate of positive tests from the Marlins over the weekend and what that means for Major League Baseball and, quite frankly, every other sport that isn't in a bubble scenario going forward.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, we're looking at baseball, that this well, some say massive spread on the team. Others say, well, it's we have protocols that can deal with it, so that's a discussion we're obviously going to have today. But
well, there's one guy saying that.
How does NFL and college football feel right now? Are they watching? Are they learning? Is anybody learning from anything? You know, because it sounded like in the past that some weren't looking at the others, you know, that they weren't seeing the protocols or weren't, you know, wondering how a situation was going to play out. Well, now it's right here in front of us in baseball. So how does this thing play out and who is watching as it plays out?
Dad, you'll appreciate this because we got this news yesterday during the body of the show.
Right.
And it was jarring. It reminded me a lot of, remember when you'd get rolled up on, someone roll into the side of your legs or your knee, and all of a sudden you get this flash of pain and your whole leg is throbbing.
Yep.
And you fear the worst in that moment. You reach down and you're like, I for sure tore my knee, my calf's ripped off the bone, something happened in this spot, and it's this general pain from the knee down that worries the hell out of you. And then you get over to the sideline, and then you take a series off, and then things start to calm down and it localizes and you can figure out where the problem is here. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like the sky was really falling on this one, and now we still might have a serious problem. Like, we might have torn our ACL in this process, but now we have to be able to assess it. And we know this morning the test results for the Marlins, the test results for the Phillies also that were a part of this, and the tracing program Major League Baseball's got are going to be coming back, and that is going to tell us an awful lot about how we proceed forward.
And I guess going forward, we have to kind of try, and to your point of finding it localized in the knee, where's the issue here? What is the issue? What caused this? What precipitated this? Will this continue to happen for any reason that we're not seeing, or that baseball, at least at this point, until we see the football start, isn't doing correctly in their protocols?
Yeah, and again, what baseball's doing right now, the Marlins have postponed their next two games. They're supposed to play, I believe, what, Wednesday or Thursday?
They're supposed to play Wednesday. They're supposed to play Wednesday in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They had 11 players and two coaches test positive over the last few days. Now, originally we had heard canceled on the game yesterday.
Right.
Now they're saying postponed.
They've changed the wording
both of those games.
And then the Yankees games, of course, in Philadelphia, that was also not played because that's where the Marlins were and then that visiting clubhouse, and they're trying to figure all that out. So what is going on with Major League Baseball? Well, Commissioner Rob Manfred had an extended, long interview on MLB Network with Tom Verducci, and he addressed a lot of topics. Here, first and foremost, on the protocols that are in place to protect the players from getting COVID-19.
We talked about the situation. I think most of the owners realize that we built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season, that the protocols were built in order to allow us to continue to play through those positives. And I think there was support for the notion that we believe that the protocols are adequate to keep our players safe.
Yet we have 11 players who have tested positive on one team, and playing through is the issue, right? Because a lot of people think the Marlins, after four positive tests before the game, should never have even taken the field against the Phillies.
Well, that was Friday. There was testing on Friday, one positive on Saturday. Testing on Saturday, three more positives on Sunday. Then what happened under the protocols, they did contact tracing for all four positives. It was a small number of players that met CDC guidelines. They were quarantined. They did additional testing. We did symptom checks, temperature checks, and we did decide to proceed with the game on Sunday. And that's
the issue.
That certainly seems to be the issue, is where do you draw the line? Because we've asked this all along. How many positives spring this kind of action of canceling a game, of postponing a game, as they're going to say? So they did postpone the game, but the game after that, but should they have ever played that game in the first place?
Correct.
And we won't know. Listen, as far as we have to wait for tests to come back on the Phillies and see what happened there, because they were on the field with them. But was it one game too long they went by letting them play that game and not saying, wait a minute, we got, but what they said is, see, this is where other sports can learn. They followed their guidelines, their protocols, right? We had positive tests. We did contact tracing. We felt under the CDC guidelines that there was enough social distancing and or non-contact that we could quarantine them and still go ahead and play the game. And we know all the players wanted to play the game, and that's the last person in the world, the last thing in the world you should do.
Correct.
Is listen to the players, because for the most part, players unaffected in this want to play the game. So that, I think, was a mistake in listening to them, and you needed to think long and hard about, is this a place where we step in? Hindsight's always 20/20, but that's going forward. You're going to have a couple of football programs in NFL and college that may be coming up to that those same decisions.
And the rest of a Major League Baseball season where they have to look at this and just saying our protocols are good enough when you talked about in this situation, and I look at this and I have some degree of empathy because you're saying we're following the CDC guidelines for this stuff. We're doing right by what we believe that the people in charge of this have told us. And in this case, it netted you more cases than you originally thought you had in that spot. And so it should be an admission that, all right, it's not foolproof. It's not a process that is necessarily going to work perfectly. And so we need to be willing to adjust. And part of that adjustment has to be, this cannot be left in the hands of the players. Like, period, end of sentence.
As we've said before, that's why someone takes your helmet away from you in an NFL game when they think you but you're in the concussion protocol. It's not your call anymore.
And concussions aren't contagious.
Correct.
Like, that's an even bigger reason why you would do this.
And it's one thing to say we have protocols for positive tests. That's fine. Do you have protocols for dealing with a massive outbreak? That's the more important part of this.
Right, and I'm sure they do. Then it's going to be a matter of, are they working? Are they the correct protocols? I think under the guidelines, they have protocols for this, though, and we keep going back to this, but I do think I understand it. There is no number. We always ask for the number. What triggers this?
Yeah.
You know, what triggers, well, we had four, then all of a sudden we had, 13. Yeah. You know, we had nine more out of this. So what triggers us to get to this point, and was it done a little too late? That's what other entities need to learn from this, is when to step in and say, before we get to what happened to the Marlins, we need to step in and be more proactive.
Yeah, and Manfred said also in that interview with Tom Verducci, this isn't a nightmare scenario. He said it wasn't a positive, obvious, but he didn't consider this the nightmare scenario. Now, David Price, the Dodger pitcher, who opted out of playing this year, put a tweet out last night, was very interesting, where he said, now we really get to see if Major League Baseball is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount, ? Part of the reason I'm home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed, and Commissioner Manfred responded to David Price's tweet.
I disagree with David's comments. I think both for the MLBPA and for us, the health issue was the one that had to be resolved. It was the most important one to all of us. In terms of the activities that have happened in the last few days, as I said, you know, we followed the protocols to a T. We went beyond those protocols in the sense that we canceled games, two for the Marlins so far. We're open to having to cancel additional games if we feel it's necessary to keep our players safe.
So before, we believe our protocols are adequate to keep our players safe. Now we're already going beyond them in this instance in a way that's understandable. All this is to say is you don't have to come out here in staunch defense of your protocols. You can understand, like most people have said, and I believe Dr. Sills, the NFL's doctor, even said this, this is a living, breathing thing. It's going to change and be updated as we go along.
Yeah, I don't think it's going above the protocols to cancel a game. I think that's part of the protocol.
It should be, and adjusting them is fine.
Part of the protocols is what triggers enough to cancel a game. Yeah. That should be in your protocols, not above and beyond your protocols.
That's the thing that I took away from that. How is that not part of the protocols? If you have this outbreak, then you have to do this. I don't understand how that wasn't part of the process to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's fair. I think what it comes down to is, they said we follow the protocols and the guidelines. Is this the CDC? What is this? Because something didn't work right, correct? Yeah. So whatever the protocols were, you have four positive tests and you decided to play the game. But you said you followed your protocols and guidelines. Were there ones, obviously, baseball is talking to doctors. Who are they talking to? The CDC? So they all felt, or was it one of those situations where you wanted to play the game, you wanted to do it, so you found a reason to do it? Well, there's four positive tests, but we don't think they had contact with anybody. We did the contact tracing. We think there was enough social distancing. And the players want to play, so let's go ahead and play.
Confirmation bias. Look, this is what I believe, and these things help support the thing that I believe. So we'll have much more reaction throughout the day on this, including the NBA. bubble. WNBA, bubble. MLS, bubble. Those were all working. Why did MLB opt for a different approach? And could the bubble have worked? We will get into that after this.
If tomorrow Major League Baseball finds out that the Philadelphia Phillies had 15 of their players test positive, are they willing to continue just by whacking one team at a time, by not having Major League Baseball players to play?
There needs to be a hard protocol.
There needs to be Major League Baseball saying, if this happens going forward, this is what the consequence is going to be.
The Marlins had conversations with the Phillies, understanding that there were infected players, and decided to play a game.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So we're still waiting. Hopefully, we could find out this morning what's going on with the Phillies, who are awaiting their test back after playing that game against the Marlins when the Marlins had at least four positives and decided to take the field. You know, the best case scenario would be somehow, some way, there wasn't any transmission. But of course, boy, that would be an optimistic way, but we're still waiting to find out how all of that plays out going forward.
Yeah, and I think those answers this morning, for some people, if they come back and we don't see any transmission and we don't see that during that gameplay the other team was put at risk, are going to say, well, see, nothing was wrong here.
Right.
That's
yep.
not true. Yeah. But what it means is it is a bit more information of, all right, what we need to worry about and focus on here. I still think putting it in the hands of players of whether or not to play, whether or not to put them in this situation is probably not the right way to go about it. But if you find out that playing is not necessarily the, you know, worst part of this, that you can play through some positives in this instance, or that your contact tracing program worked enough to limit that exposure to the other team, then you've got some answers in this point in time. And I think that's what you're looking for, not absolving what we've clearly seen as a process that's got some holes in it.
Right. We had Jeff Passan on with us yesterday morning, right after he broke the story that the Marlins outbreak was worse than the first four people. Of course, it turns out it was 13, including some members of the coaching staff. And we talked to Jeff yesterday about the idea, because remember, Major League Baseball, when this whole process began, again, this was in April at some point, they were trying to figure out a way to get back on the field. They were looking at two bubble scenarios, one in Arizona and one in Florida. At that time, both of those places seemed to be doing okay with the COVID outbreak. That is obviously a very different scenario now, even though the NBA and the WNBA and the MLS are doing okay in their bubble scenarios in Florida. And he said he wasn't really sure if that was ever going to work. Marley Rivera, our ESPN MLB reporter, was on with Spain and Company last night, and she agreed that even though they thought about that idea, that the bubble scenario just wasn't one that was going to work.
Major League Baseball is an entirely different sport, so it doesn't work that way. These are 60-man rosters, 60. And not only that, you need enough ballparks to play it, and the only place where you could have done a bubble, the only two places, would be Arizona and Florida. And those two names, right, the one thing that I have to say, they're coronavirus hotspots right now. Mm-hmm. So where is it that we were supposed to do this bubble? Where is it? In Arizona, where right now is a very dangerous place to be? In Florida, where teams are dying to get out of there? Like, it just really doesn't work that way. It is an entirely different sport in order to play it in a bubble. You can't create 17 ballparks in one hotel in Disney World.
All of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Look, there's a couple of things there. Yes, Florida is a mess, but the NBA bubble is, I mean, all those bubbles are working inside
right
now.
So that argument, at least on the outside, doesn't seem to work because
Correct.
The WNBA, the MLS, and the NBA are doing it.
Now, the NHL is also doing it very successfully. They announced phase four. Each of the 52 members of the 24 teams are going to be tested on a daily basis, but coming out of that last group of tests, I believe they had zero positives in their most recent round.
So what it comes down to is fields, right, and what you need to play, because she is right in the fact that at Disney World, you do have all the courts there in one slot,
Correct.
In one spot. You have all the soccer fields in one spot right there. So would you have enough if you went to two places? Because the talk was Arizona and Florida. You know, with the fields to use, would you be able to bubble in those scenarios? Because it's not just on one or two fields
right.
in Arizona and Florida. It's on multiple fields in different cities as well. So where do you bubble? And Mike, we were just saying, and you were right, because I was trying to figure out what basketball has in the bubble compared to baseball. But the more comparison is hockey. Hockey has 52. Again, in basketball, you have 37 personnel between players.
Your traveling party.
Your traveling party. Thank you. For 22 teams, is 814 people. You look at hockey, they get 52 in their traveling party. For 24 teams, is 1,248. So already that's more. We get it, that's more. But that would be more along the lines of baseball. Now, baseball has a total of 60 people. Are you putting all those people, the whole taxi squad? If you went into a bubble, would you need to do that? Like the NBA's players that are available, as opposed, would you need all that big of a taxi squad if you were in a bubble to have all those people there? So the amount of people you're talking about is probably more in line with hockey, which is doing it in two different spots. Again, you could, depending on the rinks you use, and it would be depending on the fields that you use, basically playing through the day. They were looking at it, so they were trying to see if it was feasible or not. I know we're going to get in the NFL bubble talk, and I'm sorry, there's no shot of that happening anywhere.
It's an impossibility.
No shot of even trying to figure out how that was going to happen. But with baseball, you have to wonder, you know, because we do see hockey doing it. I'm just trying in my head to juggle the differences of what you would need from those two sports. One is indoor, you know, and contained right there. The others would be outside and maybe spread out a little bit.
Yeah, I think the reason we're all searching so hard to try and make whatever shape peg this is fit into the round hole is because so far we've seen the bubbles be pretty successful. We've seen the testing numbers reflect that. The NHL is just the latest version of this to come up and be successful. The problem that we know with the NHL is that's happening in Canada. So you're talking about two bubbles for bigger teams in a country that has markedly fewer cases in the spots that they chose to put these.
They have crushed the curve up there in Canada.
Yeah, and yes, so it's crushed it. That part of it is going to be apples to oranges, because I could understand the Players Association looking at Arizona and Florida at that time and saying, well, our bubbles aren't going to be contained to a resort where we can have everyone locked in there.
Exactly.
They're going to be much more of a mesh hat than we even talked about with the NBA in a lot of this. And so there would have been concerns. But if all of this is about trying to mitigate as much of the potential blowback as you can, you have to wonder if there's not still some tinge of regret, even if it would have been extremely difficult and maybe in some cases not doable.
Yeah, it would have been more difficult than what the NBA is doing. So anybody saying they could have done it like the NBA, it couldn't have happened that way.
Right.
It would have been a little more spread out, or maybe a lot more spread out than that, to try and make a bubble.
The only thing that you can come back to is that what baseball is trying to do is travel everywhere a lot, all the time through flights. If you had the situation with the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, that part of it would have been taken out of the equation.
That would have been. And I understand, and Dad, I mean, hell, we know the area out in Scottsdale by Talking Stick, where some of the parks are out there in different areas like that. There's a lot to take in out there as far as variables you would have to be aware of in that situation. But travel seems to be the one biggest difference that Major League Baseball has in the frequency between them and everyone else right now. So it's the thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because remember, football would be once a week. Where in baseball, I mean, there's a lot more travel. And also the bottom line is we can talk about it till we're blue in the face and say, what if, hindsight 2020.
Right.
They're not in a bubble, and they're not going to be in a bubble.
So
they're not
exactly
all of a sudden
going
to go to a bubble. Yeah. The NFL's not going to a bubble. In college, I think they're actually right. They said, quite honestly, we're going to just be coming out of a bubble.
Yeah.
We had our workouts together where we could kind of bubble the players, but that's all going to go away when students come back on the campus and they start traveling for their game. So, I mean, we can have the bubble talk, and I'm sure initially to have the bubble talk on coulda, woulda, shoulda, but it's not going to happen. Baseball is not going to all of a sudden revert to a bubble. They have to deal with the issue that's going on right now and see how they can come out of it.
Does anybody else want to chew gum now, just talking about
bubble,
the bubble?
Make a bubble?
That's all
bubble
gum? Think of right now. And that is really Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. By the way, baseball also plays every day, which is a big thing, and that goes into that travel as well. Coming up, Buster Olney was doggy downer when this all began. 5% they start, 0% they finish. We got past the 5%, but that 0% might be a real thing now. We'll talk to Buster next about what he thinks can happen and should happen going forward with the protocols in Major League Baseball. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Golic and Wingo here with you on a Tuesday morning when we're dealing with the fallout of the massive outbreak for the Marlins, the COVID-19 case, and what it means not only for the Marlins and the Phillies and the Yankees and everybody else, but what it means for the state of baseball going forward. For more of this and more discussion on this, delighted to be joined by our friend, our baseball insider, Buster Olney, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast. Buster, thanks for being with us this morning. Before we get into the specifics of the Marlins case, what did you make of the case Commissioner Rob Manfred made for himself and the baseball safety protocols for COVID-19 in his extended interview with Tom Verducci on MLB Network last night?
And Trey, if you don't mind, can I get the mushy stuff out of the way with Golic?
Yeah, go for
okay.
it.
Let's just, from a listener standpoint, Mike, I just want to say thanks for your humor and your humility and your honesty, your humanity, especially your humanity. And as someone who's worked with you, thanks for tolerating my emails, and thanks for tolerating my baseball sensibilities, which, let's face it, you viewed with a lot of disdain at times, and rightly so, with all of my sports unwritten rules. And thanks for letting me be part of the universe that you put together.
Well, Buster, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. Those emails made me sound smarter than I really am, number one. And number two, I always appreciated guys like you that would come on, guests like you that would come on and just understood the show and had fun with us. Didn't just come on and, you know, talk about your sport. You were able to go anywhere with us. And that's what I think really made my year so much fun was with people like you just kind of got the show and had that great personality. So I appreciate that out of you very much. Thank you.
Well, absolutely loved it. Trey, to answer your question, look, I think Rob, in his interview with Tom Verducci, went, you know, broad strokes and spoke to generalities. When you speak to people at the team level, they talk about more concerns. And, you know, having the protocol referred to as Swiss cheese is what I hear. And the fact that there doesn't seem to be a lack of there doesn't seem to be uniformity. There seems to be a lack of, complete understanding about what needs to take place. That's clearly what happened with the Marlins in terms of the timing, in terms of the conversation within the team. And it does feel like that, you know, in some respects, some of these groups are calling audibles. Now, whether or not that's supposed to be the case or that's just, a natural situation when you put it in, some of this stuff in the hands of people on the ground. It reminds me, actually, you know, for years, of course, the handling of concussions in football was you ask the player, well, how do you feel? Well, what's the player going to say? And in this case, with the Marlins, it seemed like some of the conversation was, well, what do we want to do? It shouldn't be that way. It should absolutely be done from 30,000 feet when there's specific information about this guy tests positive. Okay, do the contact tracing. Who he's in contact with, take that guy off the field. Take that guy off the field. You don't have enough players to not field the team. No problem. That's what we're doing to keep everybody safe and to prevent a spread.
So along those lines, Buster, could we just say this is the pandemic we always said was going to control the narrative? Were the protocols followed incorrectly, or were there just man-made decisions that were bad decisions?
I think all of the above, to some degree. Now, there are differing accounts as to what happened within the Marlins world in terms of from the time that this outbreak began to happen on Friday and to the end. And that certainly needs to be cleaned up moving forward so other teams don't follow the same thing. But I've said all along that, you know, baseball is like a rowboat in a hurricane. There's so much that's out of their control. I think by and large, when you talk with players and you talk with executives, they feel like the players are working their butts off to make this work. But all it takes is one. You know, the belief is that this outbreak came from a time in Atlanta, and who knows how that happened. But the fact is that things like that, you know, are probably that happened in this case, and it may happen again. I think Rob is right in mentioning that, you know, that there was some anticipation of the fact that this was going to happen. And now the big question is what's baseball's response going to be? One thing I really hope they don't care about, you know, the quote unquote integrity of the season, you know, integrity of 60-game season. Guys, this is like the backyard wiffle ball game when you played as a kid with your friend, where you were like, okay, if you hit the ball onto the roof, then it's a home run. If you hit the window level, it's a double. They're making this up as they go along. And so if it turns out, you know, that the Marlins play 54 games instead of 60, who cares? There's no point in trying to ram through a bunch of makeup games. That's what I was hearing from folks at the team level. Just do what you need to do to control what's going on with the Marlins, and when they're ready to go, then you restart.
Yeah, Buster, I think that's been the interesting part, is competitive balance and things like that, of the terms that they're chasing here as far as a threshold. And we've heard that at the team level when we ask the question we've been asking of every commissioner in every league, is what's the threshold that triggers a shutdown in all this? And Rob Manfred continues to cite, when we put a team at a competitive disadvantage, what is the team response to that notion of that being the line?
That they fully expect that what that means is that with 60, these 60 pool players, that they're just going to keep trying to plow ahead. You know, heads down, full steam ahead, damn the torpedoes. And they're going to try to make it work. And I remind everybody, and I think it's only 7 of the 30 owners are still in place from 1995. In 1995, 29 of the 30 baseball owners were prepared to play with replacement players. You know, basically Class A and Double A players, and they were going to call that a major league product. And you know, the folks at the team level, general managers, team presidents, have told me, look, they want to get through this season. They want to, you know, push this product through. It means a lot. I really believe the only thing that might change that direction would be the Russian roulette scenario, that somebody gets really sick, especially someone of prominence, or, God forbid, worse. You know, for years, for example, there was talk in baseball 2007, 2008, 2009 about the catcher collision rules, and then Buster Posey, a star, right, got hurt, changed everything. You know, that slide into second base, Chase Utley a few years ago, the fact that it happened in October changed everything. And I think that's the big X factor here. You know, would there be something that changed everything? On the team level, you guys saw on the face of Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager yesterday, sincere concern, genuine fear about what's possible. But I think unless you have a situation where someone really gets sick, they're just going to try to go through.
You know, and along those lines, I want to go back to what you said. If the Marlins played just 54 games, who cares? And listen, I 1,000% agree with you, but what everybody is going to say is it's the Marlins. Exchange it for Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, one of the top teams out there. Would we all feel the same way, do we think?
Golic, were you eavesdropping on my call yesterday with the general manager of one of the teams? That's exactly what he said. Let's be honest here. If this was, you know, one of the prominent teams, it would get a lot more attention. The Marlins are probably, and I don't mean this in terms of the players on the team as people, but they're the least regarded organization in baseball. If this is a situation, an outbreak was going to happen with any team as far as baseball is concerned, then, you know, the Marlins are probably the candidate that it would prefer.
Buster with us this morning. So Buster, there's so much to get into this. When do you think we'll know, and what do you think will be the ramifications of the test that come back for the Phillies, who were on the same field with the Marlins at that time?
Yeah, and that was the big focus, as you guys know, yesterday for baseball, to get the Phillies tested and to get them in order. If there are some positives, I still believe, you know, that Rob's words last night that, you know, that they don't think this is a nightmare scenario will hold. I think their hope is that there would be no tests or few tests enough so that they would have enough players in their bubble to go ahead and to play. And I do underscore again the determination to play.
Buster, to that end, from what we've seen so far, and I guess a lot of this will be based off those results, but what do you think is the next step as far as changes Major League Baseball can tangibly make to their process going forward? I know the commissioner talked about it being enough, but we've seen already, he said in his own words, we had to go beyond it. So in your mind, what are the one or two things they've already got to ratchet up even before we get through these tests?
I hear at the team level that they feel like the idea of testing every other day leaves too many big holes. They feel like that needs to go from every other day to every day. And there does need to be an overriding administration of what happens when these positive tests happen, where somebody who's not in a team group is telling them, this is what's going to happen. You know, give us the information. This is exactly what's going to happen, and not leave it for confusion within the team group. And I will tell you that what I'm hearing at the team level is that guys like Dan Halen, Morgan Sword, who are two of Rob Manfred's lieutenants are working their butts off. And there's a lot of respect for the efforts that they're making. But I think there needs to be more aggressive leadership in that way. And to that end, I think we got to hear from Rob more. Like, it's really surprised me that we haven't heard more from Rob, from Rob and Tony Clark. I mean, let's face it, we've heard more from Tony Clark about, Alex Rodriguez's view on revenue sharing more than what happened with the Marlins yesterday. And I think that needs to change because the players, the staffers, all around baseball, they're concerned. They're scared. You guys should see the text messages I'm exchanging with players. And I think people need to be out there explaining, okay, this is what happened. This is what we're going to do to correct the situation. And so rather than have an idiot like me come on and try to answer the question of what baseball is going to do next, Junior, we need to have the people who are in charge of the sport say, this is what's going to happen.
So with that in mind, Buster, when this whole process began, you were 5% they start, 0% chance they finish. Where are you on your odds? Has that changed in any way, shape, or form when it comes to the finishing part?
I feel like I would put it now at something in the range of 40% that they finish. I think that now they got through the summer camp and they are and they're playing. I think that they have an absolute desire to just put their heads down, you know, cover their ears, cover their eyes, and just go as far as they can go.
Well, Buster, we always appreciate your time. And again, I appreciate your time over the last 22 years and you helping me get through this show each and every day, my friend.
Thanks, Buster.
Absolutely. Thanks, Buster.
Thanks, Buster. Guys.
Appreciate you. Love Buster.
No, he's the best.
Oh, always play. And quickly mentioned Dave Martinez, who's the manager of the Nationals. He had a heart procedure in last September. Yeah. So he's 55 years old, he's trying to take those extra precautions. So you can see guys like that, where athletes who are in their 20s or early 30s, while I still think maybe a little nervous or a little more, you know, that when the athlete kind of that, you know, nothing can happen to me or I can handle anything. Well, when you're all of a sudden in your 50s and you had a heart procedure and you're dealing with this, there's a little more trepidation in your actions.
There is, but Buster even said it, though. He's exchanged text messages with some players that are concerned. We saw players like David Price were concerned enough to opt out. But I think seeing someone be willing to be in front of the podium and be that vulnerable was pretty eye-opening for a lot of people who just assume, yeah, everyone's ready to plow through this thing, you know, no fear whatsoever.
Well, here is Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager at a press conference, talking about how he has to deal with all of this because of the things that he's had to go through.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm scared. I really am, you know. So I go from here, home, back here every day. That's all I do. I wash my hands. I went from 47 times a day to probably 99 times a day. Wear my mask everywhere I go. So, I mean, but, you know, there's always, you know, there's that concern, you know. You don't know, you know, right now you don't know, if, you know, because of my heart condition, what happens, you know, to me if I do get it. So I got to be extra careful. With that being said, sometimes I tend to put myself aside and worry about other people more than me. I think that's why I'm here, because I worry about those guys before I put myself first.
And so that's a very real thing, and I think that's going to probably hold true for a lot of the coaches involved in these scenarios as we go forward for the NFL, for college football. We've always talked about them, the medical staffs, a much more vulnerable section of this population. And this is, I think, what happens now is we've asked the question of so many coaches, so many different ADs all along the way, commissioners, are you looking out? Are you talking to other leagues about this? And generally, I've been surprised by how few of them have answered, oh, yeah, we're looking at this, or oh, yeah, we're diligently watching this. Everyone watched what happened yesterday.
Yeah,
there is no doubt about what's gone on with that. Everyone watched what happened yesterday. And so now the adjustment comes, I think, is already going to be interesting based on what Buster said at the end there. Major League Baseball players no longer feel, a lot of them, like testing every other day is enough. We know the NFL had talked about doing it after 2 weeks. Dad, I can't imagine that the NFL is looking at this situation now and expecting every other day testing is going to be good enough.
I would be stunned. I mean, because you're talking about baseball, then you're talking about football. You're talking about doubling, you know, roster sizes and the people you're going to test, the massive amount of people involved. And then if you don't have the quick response testing, if you're waiting a day, which
you can get a test in 15 minutes.
Now, again, I don't know how available that is everywhere, because when I tried to get it in South Bend, it wasn't available anywhere. It was only available in one spot. So I don't know the regularity of that. We know they have the money to get those, but we also know they've said, we don't want to take away resources from other, you know, people outside of sports. So I don't know that part of it. I'm not going to claim to know that part of it. But as far as the testing every day, I can't believe, and for those that don't know, right now, the first 2 weeks, like now going on in the NFL, there's testing every single day. And if after 2 weeks the percentage of positives is under 5%, they will go to testing every other day. If it's above 5%, they will continue to test every day till it's below 5%. That's a procedure. I'm with you, Mike. I couldn't imagine them not saying, we're just testing every day. I don't think you're in a position to not do that. I really think that that's one of the first things you have to look at. If you're not looking and seeing this and saying, we have to learn from this, one of the first things has to be, we literally have to test every day. We have to be very quick to isolate. We see now in the NFL, they've isolated some players who haven't tested positive, but they think because of contact tracing may have been in the vicinity of somebody, so they're isolating them now. Now, it's easy to do now in training camp. What's going to happen during the season when there's a game involved? Do you want, and if it's one of your top players, you want to miss in practices? I mean, just as we said before, what term you use when you want it to happen, that you'll kind of lean toward.
Confirmation bias. Yeah.
This is the
point I want, so I'm using the data to support the point I want, not looking at
maybe
all the data.
Maybe it was contact tracing, but maybe not enough, so we'll let them practice. You just hope. That's the stuff I fear.
Well, and you know, hoping we can't afford to do that, what we've seen from Major League Baseball is if left up to their own devices, teams will do what team sports people do in this and plow ahead. This has got to be the other part of it is testing every day seems like it's got to be the way to go, and there's got to be some sort of oversight group. The teams can't be the ones making those decisions on behalf of a contagious form of their players' health and safety.
And again, you could play a baseball game and not touch another human being. That's not possible for one single part of any football game. And that's why a lot of people are raising a lot of concerns about what they're seeing out of Major League Baseball, including some very prominent NFL players. Listen to Jason McCourty, one of the Patriots twins defensive backs, on the Double Coverage podcast, basically what he's seeing from his own players in his league that has him very concerned.
I go on social media, and it makes me very nervous to think there will be a season. I've gone on social media and seen guys posting a video in a nightclub. And it's just like, yo, like we're attempting to play football. That's not going to be okay. You see guys working out in one city on a Monday, working out in another city on a Tuesday. So for me, it is nerve-wracking. And those are the things that for me make it nervous to say, like, are we going to be able to have an entire season?
So, I mean, that's the things you get nervous about. You have to trust your teammate. You have to trust not only your teammate, but the other players in the league. That's why in baseball, we've already seen, heard analysts and others say, we're seeing the high fives. We're seeing, you know, the
dog pile after walk-offs.
We're seeing, you know, the contact is close there. Is that causing it? Is this just the virus being the virus? We don't know, but all you can do is give yourself the best chance to not spread the virus, and that's by keeping your social distance when you don't have to be by one another. But we're already seeing a car, and that's what we said too. Once you start playing, and I know it's early, but they've been doing the spring games or the summer games in baseball, and now the regular season games, you start to get comfortable, right? You start to get a little more comfortable, so you start to maybe high five or maybe get a little closer or maybe have your mask down a little bit. Is that the cause? I don't know. But we know that if you don't do that stuff, you may have a better chance of not spreading the virus. So this needs to be a wake-up call to everybody, I think, and not a wake-up call to the point, and I know people are throwing it around there's no way you're bubbling in football.
Zero.
No shot. No, and I know people are coming up with different ideas.
Not happening.
It's just not going to happen in football. So it's, are they going to be able to have a season this particular way, the way baseball is having it?
Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I think the one part of this that from, and I understand Jason McCourty's perspective on that and the fear of that, because we've seen it all offseason. We've talked about how it's flown in the face of their advice, but we also know they haven't been together all offseason. And there's a difference once you get everyone. What do we always hear from teams and personnel when it comes to anyone that might work outside of the box they're normally used to? Well, we want to get them back in the structure. We want to get them in the facility. And that's the hope, that once you get guys together, the McCourtys of the world take over. It's not just a Zoom meeting. It's in-person leadership now saying, listen, we are seeing what's happening in baseball. We know what it's going to take. We need everyone to tighten the screw right now, and maybe that can produce some help.
Yeah. yeah, we need to get to where we can have that part first. That's the biggest issue, because the issues going forward are preventing all of that from really happening. Golic and Wingo is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Coming up, how much did the NBA's hiatus help one team who's really been unable to get over the hump to where they want to be? We will get to that next as we continue with you on a Tuesday morning. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.